beer, blame the beer on the whiskey, blame the morning on the night for who's lying here with me, blame the bar for the band, blame the band for the song, blame the song for the party that went all night long, but it ain't my fault.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you here with us. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. Get a hold of Golf News Net every which way on every social media service you can think of that's popular, at least, at Golf News Net. Find all of our work at golfnewsnet.com. Download our Roku TV app. Soon to have an Apple TV app. I know I say that every week. And and you can also find a lot of my work, personally speaking, over at Yahoo Sports' Devil Ball Golf blog on sports.yahoo.com. We are presented by BetDSI.com. We use their odds each and every week. This week, use them for PGA Tour, European Tour, and LPGA Tour odds posts. And even if you're in a jurisdiction where you can't legally bet online on sports, you can use their information to be able to make good predictions and see where the smart money is going and how that affects the wagering odds in real time. So check out BetDSI.com. All right, our guest this week is Dave Pelz. And Dave Pelz, if you do not know who Dave Pelz is, for more than 30 years, Dave Pelz has been trying to help people get better at golf. He is a short game guru. He is a master with wedges and putters. He has worked with tons of tour players. Probably his most famous current client is Phil Mickelson. He has the most amazing backyard in Austin, Texas. It's been featured, I believe, on HGTV. There's video of it online, and if you want to check it out, I think we'll wind up embedding the video on our site post of this podcast as well. And I was approached by him and his team about being on the show to talk about a new green reading technique. And I'm a fan of advancing information to golfers, advancing how we understand how golf is played between statistics and technique and instruction. I'm a huge fan of all of those things. And I've been curious about the notion of Aim Point Express for a while, which is the thing where you see pros kind of stand over the line and they hold up fingers to try to figure out the degrees of slope with their fingers. And then based on that, they kind of come up with their, you got it, aim point for a putt. And it seems to be effective and it seems to help a lot of guys read greens. But Dave Pelz has come along with a system he believes trumps that and advances that. He does give up Aim Point Express credit in our interview. And he's trying to bring this to people earlier than he normally otherwise could. And he's trying to use Kickstarter as a means of advancing this a little bit sooner into the public consciousness. It's a little bit different than the books he's written in the past. He's written 7 of them. And in this case, this really isn't something that you teach in a book. It's not something you really necessarily teach just putting it photographs on paper. You need to have graphics to kind of understand what you're looking for. He kind of wants to show you the actual technique, so there's a video production component to this. So instead of going to a traditional publisher saying, hey, I want to write a book, they go, oh, cool, you're Dave Pelz, you have an audience, here's an advance, what we think the book's going to make, here you go make the book, and then go from there. So, well, you know, this is a little bit different. I need to shoot video, I need to create graphics, I need to do all these things that aren't printing. So I need to raise the money myself. So he is doing a Kickstarter, and it begins in the middle of May, actually Players Championship Week, and it runs for 2 months, and he needs somewhere in the area of like $215,000. And what he's doing is asking people to pre-order. So he's basically selling what amounts to something worth well more than $120 for $80. For people, 79 specifically, that order ahead of time. And if, as you know with Kickstarter, if he fulfills the Kickstarter, he gets all the money that he needs, which, I mean, you do the math, 80 into 200 some odd thousand dollars, really isn't all that many people. I mean, 3 people is 240, 30 people is 2,400, 300 people is 24,000. So effectively, he needs 3,000 people to say, yeah, I want this new green reading technique that's going to make me better on the greens and beat my buddies. And I'm going to pay $80 for it instead of paying $100 some odd in a year from now when this would come out otherwise. And it seemed like a good idea. And so I was interested in both the technology component and talking to Dave about what he's come up with, obviously knowing that he's not going to tell me, hey, Ryan, here's what it is. Just so between you and me and all of you listening, you get the secret ahead of time. That, you know, that's not how this thing works. So I was excited to have Dave on. We had a really good conversation. He details some really fascinating statistics, even for me, when I hear a lot of and ingest a lot of statistics. And a number of the ones that he threw out at me kind of blew my mind, not only as someone who watches professional golf, but someone who plays golf on a regular basis. And so I wanted to kind of bring this conversation to you, and then we'll come back at the end.
Mr. Pels, thanks for joining us so much. You are a short game guru. You have the most incredible backyard in the world for anyone who ever wants to practice their short game whatsoever. So you have spent a lot of time and dedicated a lot of your life to helping a lot of people understand how to handle this game, particularly inside of 100 yards. And you've got something now that you're offering, particularly related to green reading, that is unique and seems absolutely different and maybe will help a lot of people. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a teaser on what you've come up with?
Well, it is interesting, Ryan. It's first off, it's nice to talk to you this morning. And I appreciate your being interested in it because I think it's going to be, as you say, I have devoted a lot of my working life to trying to help golfers shoot lower scores. And this has been an ongoing effort for the last 10 years. I learned maybe 15 years ago that golfers really didn't read greens very well. And I was, you know, just doing my normal research and, you know, with pros and in schools with amateurs. And I learned that, geez, we're really bad at reading greens. And I myself was very poor at it. And I found this out by making machines that actually roll perfect putts at perfect speed. You could just dial in the power of the putt and the speed of the putt. You could aim it anywhere with a laser-guided aiming device. And so I really thought I should be able to make every putt. And then I learned, oh, my God, if I aim this thing there, I don't even come close. I read that green wrong. I read the break wrong in the putt. I just was really bad at it. And so I took this device out and started testing my pros that I work with, and they were terrible. And then I put it in schools at various times, measuring some of my students how well they aimed. And I found out, hey, listen, people are missing more putts inside of 10 feet by misreading them than they are by misstroking them, by making bad putting strokes. And, of course, everybody blames their putting stroke. They don't know if they read the green right or not. They don't know for sure how much the putt is going to break. And when they miss it, they blame their stroke. So 10 years ago, I started developing ways to measure everything that you need to learn to read greens. And I found out, hey, the real problem is that we're all doing it the wrong way. And that's what I have discovered. I've cracked the code on how to read greens better, how to read the break-in putts better. And I can't give it to you over the phone. There are several secrets. In fact, I'm naming my book. I've written the draft of the book. It's almost done. And then this summer I'm gonna finish writing it and editing it and correcting it and shooting the videos for it, because it's going to have videos combined with the book, because a lot of this is visual.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it in a Kickstarter campaign, and I don't know if you want to get into that or not, but the Kickstarter campaign is going to allow me to afford to spend the money to make 3D graphics in video that I can show people and teach them how to read greens better. That's my goal, is to help golfers read greens better, because they're all spending all this time and effort and money working on their strokes, and the strokes aren't the problem in general. It's reading the greens. We're doing it the wrong way. We're looking at the wrong things. We always have, since the beginning of time, looked at the wrong stuff. But there's a better way. I mean, it's not that it's wrong. Let me take that back. We're not all doing it wrong. We're just not doing it the easiest and best way. We're not seeing what we need to see in order to learn. So the next putt, you know, for example, Ryan, how many rounds of golf do you get to play a year?
25.
All right, and how many years you've been playing?
Oh gosh, this is the 23rd year.
Okay, so let's say 20 years, you play 20 times, you putt 30 times around.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 240,000 putts you've probably seen roll. When you talk about your putts plus your playing partner's putts, you've watched a quarter of a million balls roll across the green.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, as good a brain as you have, why don't you know how much putts are going to break when you look at them? You're standing behind it. You can see the line between you and the hole. It's amazing that as smart as the human brain is, that it doesn't. And listen, let me tell you, I've measured. I know that people don't know how to read break in their putts, because when I ask them and they tell me what they read, and then I make a machine roll it on that line at that speed, it misses. They don't know where to aim their putters. And that's the truth, a large truth in the game today, is that we don't read greens well, and we don't know how to read them any better. So that's what my study has been. I've been working on this 10 years, and I'm really deeply invested in it. I have spent more money than you can imagine. Well, not than you can imagine, but I've spent a few $100,000. Now that's, I'm not exaggerating. If you look at all the machines I've built over time, because I have a research budget in my company, and I'm teaching and I'm doing fine, I'm making a living, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I take part of every dollar that I earn teaching golf, and I put it right back into research and development in the game. And in the last 10 years, I have spent probably just shy of $500,000.
Wow.
Preparing myself to learn how to read greens. And I've finally done it. I found out what you need to know, how you can find it out, and what you have to do when you walk on a green and look at a putt. It turns out it's very different than what we're doing now. It's what most golfers are doing. And I can't give it to you over the telephone because I'm doing this Kickstarter campaign, and the people who buy the book, the Kickstarter is a campaign where you pre-order the book.
Yep.
And I will send you the book in November or December before Christmas, and the videos, if the campaign goes, if it gets funded. And it's going to cost me about $200,000. I've got a budget of $212,000 that it's going to cost me to hire a video crew and the 3D graphics and the website streaming and to do the preparation for to get our knowledge. I've got the knowledge, but I want to put it in a book and in videos and an on-course guide that I can give to a golfer in December. And I'll do that and then they are the first people that are going to know this system. So it's all going to be announced and launched in December, although the Kickstarter campaign is launching May 8th to see if people will reorder the book. It's called Dave Pelz's the Secrets of Green Reading. And it's a book plus video plus an on-course guide for $79. That's what, if you pre-order for that. You don't send me the money, you send it to Kickstarter, and if they get enough, then they take their little percentage and send the rest to me, and I go ahead and do the videos and finish the book and publish and do all that this summer and fall and early winter, and then I send it to the readers. If we don't get $212,000, which means I couldn't fund what I need to do this summer, then they get all their money back. Kickstarter does not give me a dime.
Mm-hmm.
They send the money back for the pre-orders on the books, and it'll just take me another probably a year to be able to afford to get all this done. I've tried to move it up with the Kickstarter campaign, and what it is you walk on the green and you look for different things from different positions in different ways, and you train yourself to do this, and it doesn't take any longer than what we're doing now, but it gives you a very accurate estimate, usually within 1, maybe 2 inches at the outside of how much the putt is actually going to break.
Hmm.
And I've tested it. I'm working with some pros. They're working with it, and it's really working well. They're putting a lot better.
So I want to go down two different avenues. So let's do one first. Let's do the funding component of it first, which is the Kickstarter piece of it. And what a lot of people who are maybe my age or vintage think of Kickstarter, they think of companies that have no chance of ever working with some crazy idea going to Kickstarter to get money. But there have also been a lot of successful established brands that have gone to Kickstarter to reach directly to their fans, kind of cut out the middleman, so to speak, and have been successful. And I think about Paul Azinger when he wrote his book about his experience as Ryder Cup captain in 2008. He self-published the whole thing, he sold it directly, and he made a bestseller out of it. And it seems like you're kind of taking that approach, going to the people who know you as a short game guru who has incredible information and research, and you want to say to them, hey, I want to get this out there, but I need your help to do it. Is that kind of the decision-making process behind doing Kickstarter?
Brian, it's very close, yes. You're right on, because what I've done is I've spent a lot of money, and I've done a lot of research, and I've built the tools to measure things, and now I've measured, and I know what the break is going to be before I putt the ball. The problem is getting that information that I've measured, all the test data, all the models that we've built, getting that into something a golfer can understand, showing him, this is what you look for, this is where you go to look for it, this is what you do, and then you look in your little guide and it guides you to know what you're talking about. And that is, once you learn it, it's going to be a great improvement. The problem being that for me, from right now, today, I've got the information. I've had it for a few months. But I said, for me to get that information in a book, I went to a couple of publishers. Look, I've written 7 books, or this is my 8th book. So I know how to write books. And some of them have been really, really good sellers. The Dave Peltz's Short Game Bible was a New York Times bestseller, and it sold over 1 million copies. And so I've done this. But publishers are struggling today. The conventional publishing industry is struggling because of the internet.
Yeah.
And they don't give you a very good advance. And so I cannot publish this book through a normal publisher with enough advance to do the videos and the 3D images that I need to show people what's going on and let them understand. See, the brain, if it sees something, can understand it without knowing the physics or the mathematics or the details of what I've had to go through to learn it. I don't want people to have to learn physics to be able to read greens. I want them to see what they're looking for, and then they'll understand it. Now, I couldn't do that through regular publishing, so I finally said, look, with Kickstarter, I went to Kickstarter and said, I know you do a lot of new companies, but I've been in business 30 years, and I'm making a living. I'm doing fine. It's not a problem of me being able to afford to do anything. I'm giving schools. I'm earning money. I'm making a living. What I don't have is I can't reach in my pocket and put down $212,000 to get these videos done and the graphics done, hoping that somebody will buy the book and self-publish,
yeah,
like Azinger did. Because just publishing a book, I could probably swing that myself within my own budget, but not with all this video and the graphics and the guides that I have to do to get people to see it visually.
Yeah.
I mean, I can talk until I'm blue in the face, and I cannot teach you what to do over the telephone. I've got to show you. You've got to see it. And it's like an epiphany. There are 4 fundamentals that you have to grasp in your brain that determine what's going to happen to this ball. See, the funny thing about it, Ryan, think of this. Let's say you've got a 10-foot putt. What do? You look at the green.
Yeah.
You go behind the hole and you look up at the ball. Then you go behind the ball and you look down at the hole, or up or down. I'm not particular what kind of putt it is. But you look along the ball hole line and you try to see the slope of the green along that line. Isn't that what you do?
Routinely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what all golfers do. I mean, some guys like Camilo Villegas gets way down in the green, gets real low, like a spider. And he looks along to see that slope. Most of us just squat down behind our ball and we look down at the hole and we try to see what kind of a slope is between the ball and the hole.
Right.
Well, it's funny because let's imagine a right-to-left breaking putt. It's higher on the right side of the green, on the right side of the hole, than the left. Well, the truth is, if you look at the slope between your ball and the hole, that is not where your ball is going to roll. your ball will never roll on that line. You'll miss it below the hole. As soon as you see that there's a right to left slope, you have to think about aiming that ball up the green, up the slope, so that it can break back down into the hole. And so the truth is, if you are going to read the side slope that the ball is going to roll on, you'd have to read in a curved arc all the way from your ball to the hole, and it would be different every inch of the way.
Yeah.
And it would be an incredibly difficult thing to do. So our brain can't do that. It just averages and says, well, it's probably going to break X, maybe 10 inches, maybe 2 inches, maybe 4 inches. I don't know. And the funny thing is, when we guess like that, when our brain does not really know what it's looking at or looking for or even where it's looking, it's not very good at judging. So that's the problem. And the reason I went to Kickstarter was to have a new publishing model here where I can do the book, I can shoot the videos, I can integrate them together, I can have you really see what I'm talking about. And that's what I believe. I just told the normal publisher that I use for my normal golf books, I can't do this through you because people cannot learn this without seeing.
Yeah.
And I have to show you in motion, in videos. I can't show you in one picture in a book or 1,000 pictures in a book. I've got to have video, and I've got to have a fair amount of it. Not that it's going to take so long to watch it. It's not that this is difficult. It's just different. And if you don't know what you're looking for or where you're looking, you'll never get it. Because like you, I mean, you've probably seen 250,000 putts and you don't know how to read the next putt. I have seen 10 million putts. I mean, I've watched pros. I've spent the last 30 years of my life working with golf pros and with golf students,
right,
with golf every day. That's what I get up every day. You know, my backyard, you were just talking about it. I built the whole backyard so I could run these tests and I could develop what we're talking about now. And here I am, having seen 10 million balls roll, and until I discovered the new secrets, I couldn't read the greens any better than anyone else, maybe not as well as some of the pros, because I just didn't know what I was looking for. And listen, I'm not a bad player. I went to college on a 4-year golf scholarship. I can play a little bit, but I could not read greens. And I don't mean you can't read them. Everybody reads greens. Nobody putts in the wrong direction. The problem is we only read them approximately.
Right.
And you've only got about, if you aim perfectly and make a perfect stroke, you've only got plus or minus 2 inches or the ball will miss the hole. The hole's only 4.25 inches in diameter. So you got to hit the hole in order to make the putt.
Right.
You don't know where to aim within 2 inches, you have no chance of making the putt. So that's the problem that we have. We are approximating the green reading skill that it's one of the most important skills in the game, and yet, have you ever heard of anybody practicing green reading?
No.
Have you ever heard anybody teach it? I mean, there are some people that teach people how to plumb up.
Yep.
But that doesn't work very well.
Or Aim Point Express.
Down behind the ball doesn't work very well. And there's a group now that does Aim Point, and they've made some progress. They're better than the old ways, but they still haven't cracked the code where you can really read it and know the break to the accuracy that you needed and how the ball is actually going to roll through that area of the green. And so that's what I'm trying to bring to the golfer. If they will join with me and just pre-order a book, if it doesn't get funded and we're not going to make the book in time, they get their money back. There's no risk. If they fund it, then I will finish the work this summer, and I've done seven of them. This will be my eighth. I know how to finish the book, and I promise to do that, and we'll send you the book before Christmas, and we'll all read the greens better next year. We'll all make more putts and enjoy the game more. That's what it's all about.
Well, that's a good deal for $80.
Well, it's going to be $119.95 at retail, so this is a whale of a deal.
Even better.
People that will go to Kickstarter, what they have to do is they have to come. Starting May 8th, they can't do anything today. it is not available. But starting on May 8th, if they log on to the web, go to pelsgolf.com/greenreading. Then that goes right to this Kickstarter group, and they will either collect the money and keep it until we get it funded or not funded. And they'll either send it back or we'll send you the books, and it'll work. I hope it's going to work for all golfers. I mean, I really believe, honestly, I'm not BSing here. I believe it's the best thing I will ever do for golfers.
Wow.
I mean, I've been trying to help them shoot lower scores for 40 years now. And I have helped a lot of people, and I feel good about my career, and I feel good about the discoveries I've made along the way. But this is the big one. I mean, if people can really read greens better, they can make a lot more putts.
And there's a psychological component to this, too, because, I mean, I'm someone who putts pretty well from outside, say, 12 feet, but inside 12 feet, I have more difficulty making putts because I almost read too much break into things, and I've kind of worked on that over time. But it weighs on you over time, weighs on you in a round, it weighs on you over a year, years, and it adds up. As you were saying earlier, people blame their stroke. They don't blame their eyes. They don't blame their ability to read the greens. They assume that's fine, but it's them, that they're making bad strokes, when really that may not be the case. It could just be you're just not reading them right, and that's kind of a relief off your shoulders and off your mind, thinking, if I could just read it properly, I'm going to make it.
Listen, it's really exactly what you're saying, Ryan. Last year, I started getting Phil Mickelson. He's one of them. You know, I've been with Phil for 14 years now.
Yep.
One of the best player I've ever coached. And he is putting last fall and this year in the top 10 for the first time in his career.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really putting better. It's not hitting the ball better. He's had a lot of arthritic problems. He's got psoriatic arthritis. And, you know, he's been playing fairly well, but putting really well. And we're so excited about it because we all putt 30 times a round, 30 plus. I mean, every round, listen, every hole you play, you have to aim your putter somewhere.
Yeah.
And why not learn now how to aim it a little better and make more putts the rest of the way? I mean, as long as you play the game, you're going to be putting. As long as you're putting, you're going to have to aim your putter. As long as you need to guess where to aim your putter, you've got to read this green. So there's a lot of green reading going on and not very many people working on it. I've spent the last 10 years focused on this. I finally got the answer. Now what I want to really do is bring the answer to golfers in a form that they can use it. They can walk on the green, and they can learn to do this really quickly and then benefit from it.
Why do you have
measured, like you say. Oh, by the way, you just said inside of 12 feet you have a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Boy, is that a key. Did you know that almost half the putts are inside of 6 feet?
Yeah.
Of all putts. You know, we have 35 putts around. Let's say the average golfer putts 35 or 36 putts around. That half of those are inside of 6 feet. 67%, two-thirds of them, are inside of 9 feet. And 72% are inside of 12 feet.
Wow.
Three-quarters of your putts, Ryan, are inside of 12 feet. And you're sitting here right now talking to me on the telephone, saying you have a problem with 12-foot putts and in.
Yeah.
Listen, man, that's where 72% of all putts are.
And I'm a good player, Dave. I mean, I used to be a scratch player, and I have two kids now, so that's not the case. But I'm a good player, so it's not like I can't get around. But those putts not scare me, but they make me think twice. I mean, if I stand over a 20-footer, I look, I find it. I've compensated over time to become a good longer range putter, so I don't have to worry about hitting a 6-footer. I can negotiate a 3-footer. So it's been an adjustment in how I play golf, as opposed to just feeling comfortable like some guys I play with who know they're going to make that 6-footer regardless every time. It makes you play golf differently.
Right. It is so mental, because everybody blames their stroke, and as soon as you miss it, at right, you think you pushed it, and you miss it left, you think you pulled it if you're a right-hander. And, you know, it is so amazing. If you're not confident of how much it's going to break, you can't think about hitting at the right speed. You can't feel good about making a good stroke. And then as soon as you don't make a good stroke, you get mad at yourself for not making a good stroke. There's so much mental inside of it. And it's funny because in golf, you know, we got 18 holes here. We got 18 first putts.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out 72% of all of our putting is going to be inside 12. So it means only 28% is outside of 12 feet. Those are your first putts. And, of course, some of your first putts are short. They're inside of 12 feet when you chip on or you get a wedge and you get it near the hole. So it is amazing the high percentage of putting that goes on inside of 12 feet in the game of golf, even though nobody ever practices reading greens, and all the putting lessons you've had haven't done a whole lot of good. Because the truth is, if you don't know where to aim your putter, the more you practice, the more you're just practicing compensations.
Right.
You know, if like you say, you might not read enough breaks, so you're having to push right to left putts, and you're having to pull left to righters in order to get them to go in the hole. So you're practicing these stroke compensations all the time.
Yep.
And that never lets you hone and groove one solid stroke that you use for all putts. And that's one of the ways this is really going to help people make more putts. You know, pros are only making half of their seven-footers.
Yeah.
That's an absolute true fact. I've measured it. It's the PGA Tour has measured it. They miss half of their putts from 7 feet. And I promise you, if they knew where to aim from 7 feet every time, they'd make 90% of them.
Right. The stroke's good. It's not. That's not the issue. It's getting the proper read.
Exactly. With tour pros, it's not the stroke, really. In most cases, it's not the stroke. Except where they practice so hard, and they think it's the stroke, and they start fearing it, and that fear enters the equation, you can drive yourself to the putting hips.
Yeah.
How many golfers, I can't tell you how many come to my schools that have driven themselves to the yips because I think they didn't know how to aim their putters. They didn't know how to read greens.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's something that's come up with my short putting. I have a fairly flowy stroke from mid to long range, and I've kind of decided this year, well, let's shorten that stroke inside of 12 feet. And we've seen some dividends. I mean, that's been good. But I would like to have a consistent stroke from 0 feet to 100 feet. And again, that's the compensation. That's what other golfers go through is, how am I going to get the ball in the hole? I have to find something that works. And the thing you adjust is your stroke. You don't adjust how you look at a green. You adjust what you do on it.
Exactly.
It's fascinating.
Ryan, how would you like this time next year for you and I to be talking, and you were making 90% of your seven-footers? You think that'd change your scores at all?
Yeah, I'd be scratch again without having to work all that hard for it.
Well, let's do that. Let's get this thing going. Get a whole bunch of golfers to come together, and they've got to go to pellsgolf.com/green reading on May 8th. Now, we've got 60 days after May 8th for enough golfers to pre-order the book and the video and the on-course guide. I mean, you get the package. You order the package for $79, and it's not like it's going to cost them an arm and a leg, and it's going to cost, you know, almost twice that after July 8th.
Yeah.
Where at this point, you can only go through Kickstarter to pre-order, and that's why I'm not revealing any of this, even when I get the graphics and I shoot the videos this summer. I'm not going to put them on the web because the Kickstarter contributors that join with me and bring this to the golf community, they're going to be my heroes, and I'm going to give them the very, very first look at everything we've got, and we're going to work with them to try to make sure they read greens the best of anybody.
Well, this was a great sales job on your part, because you got me. I would love to make 90% of seven footers, so I will be among those contributing $80, because I rather than spending $79. I mean, rather than spending $250 on another putter that'll eventually wind up in my garage, go ahead and spend $79 now and get the confidence that when you stand over a putt, you are reading it correctly, and you can stroke with confidence. It's not Anything simpler than that. I mean, that confidence over a putt means everything.
Listen, that's exactly, you're very good with your words, and that's exactly where we're going with this project. And that's our goal. We've got the information. If we can get it into a good form, and we're going to spend a lot more money writing and creating this book than in a normal publishing mode where, you know, I publish my other books for very little expense on my own part.
Right.
Here, I am very heavily invested, and we're going to finish it out this summer and fall. And I'm really excited. I mean, I wake up every morning. I was up, honest to God, I was up at 4 o'clock this morning working on this, working on the book. I'm reading it through. I'm starting my second time through. I've got the whole draft done. I'm working on, I say, I've got to make the storyboards and all this stuff for the, I've got to create the sketches so that my videographers know what to do with their graphics and their three-dimensional stuff, so that we can get this in shape for golfers. And I'm going to be working on it hard the rest of the year. And my belief is if I don't have some disaster strike, that I'll be ready before Christmas to send it to everybody who pre-orders. And I'm just excited every day, because this is going to make a big difference to a lot of golfers. Everybody putts. This is not just short game people. A lot of guys can hit their short game shots really pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's nobody who makes every putt. The best in the world are missing half from 7 feet. And if we can get that up to 75 or 80 or 85 or 90, I think the pros are going to make 90% of their 7-footers.
That's insane. It's
amazing, and it's exciting.
Well, I can't wait to see it. Thank you so much for spending time talking with us. The information is golden, and we can't wait to see what comes out. What you've got, what you've discovered. So, again, folks, head over to PellsGolf.com and find out how you can get involved. Again, $79 is a small investment in your game. It really is, for being able to read greens better and be happier as a golfer. It's going to be great. Mr. Pels, thanks so much for being a part of the show with us.
I appreciate it, Ryan. Love talking to you, and let's do it again next year, and we'll see how you're putting.
Hopefully I'm making 75% of 7. I won't. 90% is a little aggressive for me, but let's say 75% of 7-footers. If we can do that, that would be life.
Wouldn't it be fun?
Oh, let's good. Do it. All right, thanks, Mr. Pels.
May 8th to July 8th. Get people to join us, and we'll do it. We'll get this thing done.
All right, let's do it. Thanks, Mr. Pels.
Thank you.
Thanks to Dave Pels again for being on the show with us. He really was awesome to talk to. And the energy that he has for golf, the energy that he has for playing golf and helping people play better golf, and just studying putt after putt after putt for year after year. I mean, 3 decades, 4 decades of his life have been dedicated to a very particular facet of a very particular sport. And that, to me, that's pretty cool. And to hear that he still has that kind of energy and enthusiasm and love for it after all that time, I think that tells you a little something about Dave Pels. I think it tells you a little something about what he feels about what he has researched and come up with. So anyway, if you're interested, head over to PelsGolf.com/greenreader, all one word. That starts on May 8th, and then you can kind of go from there on the Kickstarter campaign. Again, $80 is not that much. It really isn't, especially for talking about greens and putting. A good putter these days runs $250 or higher, so you're paying for a third of a good putter to become a better putter. To me, that seems like a bargain. Anyway, next time on the show, we will talk about the Zurich Classic. I think it'll be a really great event. I hope we are proven right. I hope it's really successful, and I hope it's not a total dud. But I think it'll turn out pretty well. Please give us a 5-star review if you listen to us on iTunes. We really appreciate it. It helps us reach more people. If you don't reach us through iTunes, hey, that's okay too. We would love your comments, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, or you can hit me on Twitter @RyanBellingy. And if you do have a Roku device, please download our channel. You join 5,000 people who have downloaded our channel so far, and we don't really tell anybody about it except on this show. So thanks to those of you who have supported us so far. Again, until next week, I'm Ryan Balaji saying thanks for listening, and thanks as always for your support, and we'll talk to you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.